You know, the empty pews are multiplying here. I have to come farther down the aisle than usual. Well, first of all, I want to say what a delight it is to be able to be here and share with you on this beautiful day. I don't think I've ever been here for Trinity Sunday before. I've been here on Pentecost. This is always more fun than Trinity Sunday, don't you think? Because it's a little bit more straightforward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Trinity Sunday. We started with that great story from the creation. We had the reading from 2 Corinthians, which has the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the gospel reading, which then says that Jesus commands them to go forth and to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So you might be guessing that they chose the readings because it was Trinity Sunday, and they needed to get the three in every time they could. But you might be thinking to yourself, well, but wait a minute, where are the three in the creation story? Did anybody spot them all? No? Okay, well, that's, yes, we got one in the background. Yes, there. Sorry? Oh, there is a kind of a morning, evening, the next day kind of pattern. Thank you. That's really good. There's a movement about that it goes on. Yeah. But also in this, we actually have all three persons of the Trinity. You're saying, he's crazy. He's lost his mind. Yes. No, it was there. It was there. And the reason I'm saying it's there is because when we talk about the Holy Trinity, we talk about God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Father, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we understand this to be the one who is the origin and source of all things, the one who creates all space and time. But it also tells us that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the water. And then it says that when God creates, God the Father speaks the word, let there be light. The God speaks, and each time he says, let there be light, he speaks the word. And so we know that the word in our faith, and if we go farther on into the Gospel of John, the word becomes flesh and dwells amongst us, and that is Jesus Christ. The word in the beginning was the word who was with God and who was God. And so in fact, what we see at the very beginning of the creation story with the eyes of faith, enlightened by the revelation of God and Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit, is we see that the Trinity is at the heart of the whole creation story, which shouldn't surprise us because God is three and God is one, and it's not a math problem. I was real that it's not a math problem. I really liked that response, by the way, when the young man said, what's a mystery? And he said, I don't know. It's a little bit more than I don't know, but I had a theology professor once who used to say, as Christians, we believe in mystery, not the kind that is like a detective story meant to be solved, but the one that we are to encounter in its depths because it can never be solved. That's the mystery of the Trinity. Now, how many of you have heard great Trinity Sunday sermons where the explanation is given that the Trinity can be understood by thinking about water in the forms of liquid water, steam, and ice? Anybody? Uh-huh, yeah. Heresy, it's a heresy. Anybody remember the shamrock, they're holding it up? It's the green leaf with the three lobes on it, and it's one leaf, but there's three lobes? Yeah, that's the same heresy, actually. That's the same heresy. You see, one of the things that goes on in our attempts to explain Trinity is that we like to try to reduce it down and give a nice little example. And in fact, how the church came to talk about Trinity actually took several centuries in the church. Because people prayed to God, they prayed to Jesus, they prayed to the Spirit, they understood that there was only one God, but there were these three persons. But nobody stopped to say, well, how does that work or anything else? And every once in a while, somebody would say something, and the church would go, that's not right, that's a heresy. And then they would say, okay, that one's not right. And then somebody else would say, yeah, that's not right because this is right. And the church would say, no, that's a heresy too. So, okay, that's not right and that's not right. And then somebody else would go, yeah, that's right, those things aren't right because this is right. And the church would go, No, that's a heresy too. So actually, the doctrine of the Trinity developed out of lots of wrong. Lots of people getting it wrong until they got to the place where the language that we know in the Nicene Creed, which we will be reciting later, was developed as a way of expressing our faith in God as three and one without actually falling into the traps of all of these things. And so there was an older priest friend of mine years ago once said, I was meditating on the Trinity once, and for just a moment I grasped how it works. And I thought, no, you didn't. Because if you thought you did, you probably didn't. Which isn't to say it's hopeless. In fact, it's fully hopeful because it means that we're actually talking about God who is beyond our understanding and our comprehension. But of course, when we start thinking about, you know, what does that mean for us, one of the fairly early and ancient ways of talking about the Trinity and how the Trinity works was to talk about in terms of dance. Dance. How many of you are dancers, have been dancers? Like to dance, don't like to dance? Yeah. Yeah, I have to admit, I've never been keen on dancing, but of course, back in the 1970s in high school, does anybody remember high school dances where you get out on the floor and there'd be music going and everybody's doing their own thing and you're kind of flailing about? I'm just talking about my experience now, right? And you haven't got a clue what you're doing and everybody's going, oh, what a great dance. And you're like, is it? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Well, very individual, you know, you're just supposed to make up your own moves and whatever, and some people were more creative than others. That's not the kind of dance we're talking about. So, yeah, it's not. But Vicky and I, when we were in university as undergrads, we went and joined a dance club. And we learned how to dance the jive and the waltz and the cha-cha. Yeah. 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 Do not ask for a demonstration. That was a long time ago. And we had to learn moves. And I have to say, that was better because it was actually like, there's choreography, right? So you had to learn moves. And it was, and the two of us learning to dance together. And I do remember in the waltz, of course, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And in the back of my head, it was don't step on her feet, don't step on her feet, don't step on her feet. Because that was the rule number one, don't step on her feet, right? And that was good, but you know, actually, that also was not the kind of dance that we're talking about here either, because it's two of us, you're in harmony, that's great. But the kind of dance that actually speaks more to this, what this is talking about, is when I first had my first occasion to be a part of a circle dance, a round dance, in an indigenous context, where much more simple. There was no rock and roll music going on, just drums and some singers. And everybody is in a big circle. And as the rhythm gets going, everybody, and even if you don't know what you're doing, you're watching other people, and little bit by little bit, everybody starts to get the rhythm. And then you start realizing that the whole line is in complete unison, doing this circle with steps. Now, it's not perfect because some of us are less coordinated than others, and sometimes there's little trips or things, but in a whole, the whole thing moves in this beautiful way where you realize it's not about you, it's about all of us, and it's about all of us going to the rhythm of the drum, right? Well, that image of the circle dance actually goes way back to the ancient world, where they understood that the whole universe operated in what they called the music of the spheres, and that everything, the planets spun around, and everything was responding to the divine music of the spheres. And in the Christian context, by the Middle Ages, that's how they liked to talk about the whole cosmic order, was that everything moved to the divine music of the spheres, and everything was intertwined, including human beings in our lives, part of the great circling dances that went on, and that even when we weren't dancing per se, we were part of the dance. Well, in Christian theology, That's one of the ways we talk about the Trinity, is that when the Father does something, the Father does it through the Word and through the Spirit. And when the Son does something, he does it as from the Father and in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. That nothing is ever done by just one person of the Trinity. It always is the three in this dance, in this harmony. This perichoresis was the fancy word. You want to learn a new word? Perichoresis. Yeah, you can. When next week, if you learn this, you can come in and you can say to Oz, you can say, "We're here for perichoresis this morning." He'll know what you're talking about. But it was a way of naming how God acts. But more than just trying to understand who God is, which is the starting point, is that this is the dance of love. This is the dance of God's mercy and grace. But it's also the dance into which we also are called. I mean, that's pretty profound. The dance of the Trinity is the dance into which we are called. We are invited to join in this. If you ever get to read Dante's trilogy, you know, everybody knows Dante's Inferno. Fewer people know Dante's Purgatory, and almost nobody ever reads Dante's Paradise. But if you get that far, in Dante's Paradise, he has this vision of the whole of the saints in heaven who are dance in this dance and song in the heavens. Well, our call as Christians is to participate in that dance. You notice that in the gospel, it ends off with, well, you know, the second reading, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, great. In the gospel, it then becomes, go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Certainly, it means that at a baptism, we put water on the head and we say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because, you know, it's good to start literally. Jesus said, do it that way, so we do it that way. But it's more than that, because you're being baptized into this special life of the Trinity, into the dance. You're being called into it. This is a missional call. The apostles are called out to do the work that has been being done by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're coming out to do the work of Christ, to do the work of the Holy Spirit, and to baptize others into the work, to the life, to the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a call to learn the steps of the dance. That's what we do when we come to church. We hear the word of the scripture, and our minds and our hearts are being shaped according to God's will and God's way so that we can go out and live according to God's will and God's way. And in doing that, we are participating. We're not just obeying and doing. We are participating in who God is. God's life in us by the power of the Spirit. And so our very baptism, our very practice of coming here, we hear it in the Word, we come and receive the Eucharist, and we receive the body and blood of Christ into ourselves, which we can talk about in many different ways, but one of the ways is to say that Christ lives in us, that the dance that Christ danced in his life is the life into which we are called also. And so Christ enters into us in a deeper way. We say yes, and we receive him so that our lives can be changed. And so on Trinity Sunday, I'm hoping that the next time you celebrate Trinity Sunday, it's not just, here comes that weird Sunday where we have to talk about things that don't work. You could probably do a magic trick in it. So I don't even know how to do that. But it's not about this difficult formula that nobody can, you know, that we put aside. It's about an invitation to a life, an invitation to a way of being, an invitation to do and to be part of God's mission, God's dance in the world. And so I pray that this day we might ask Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to teach us more fully the steps of this dance that we might live it out in our lives. Amen.